Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. The great Daryl Ryder. What's up, buddy?
If you're looking for me to save the show on a Friday at 6, I'm really sorry for you.
Nope, it's your job. Come on.
Okay.
Daryl, what do you want to talk about?
Whatever. You know what? I am here for you, Dustin. So.
Okay. Let's start with Donovan Mitchell.
Go ahead.
The floor is yours.
I really hope he doesn't get any discipline from the NBA because, quite frankly, I didn't have an issue with him sticking up for himself last night.
Yeah, it's very rare, and I think it helped that that game was on national television where everybody saw it. I didn't see anybody bashing Donovan, and normally when a dude chucks a basketball at another dude in an NBA game, that dude's gonna take some flack. Nobody. I didn't see one person outside of Reggie Miller have anything to say that could be even negative. It was all about Dylan Brooks and hitting a dude in the pill basket.
Yeah, that I didn't see it live. I saw Donovan's reaction, and then when I saw the replay, I was like, yep, that's totally justified. And shout out to the security guard or assistant coach of the Grizzlies that pretty much saved Brooks from getting destroyed.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a question, right? Like, I know Dylan Brooks is a big guy. Donovan's got that New York, man. Donovan's got that twitch to him.
Donovan was ready, and he had some help waiting in the wings as well. Like, it might not have been just a solo effort on Donovan's part. So, and at the same time, that security guard might have saved Donovan, though, from throwing a punch, right? Which would have gotten him almost guaranteed additional discipline. So, I mean, they did a good job minimizing that as much as possible. I still don't know what Reggie Miller was looking at. I know what I saw. But I hopefully that's a little bit of a galvanizing moment. That seemed to be the theme in the locker room last night after the game that, you know, maybe that's something that really brings these guys together, because I think that one of the questions about this Cavaliers team is, you know, just how tough are they? Can they handle physicality in the, you know, playoff caliber competition? And even setting aside the Brooks-Mitchell melee, I really liked what I saw from the Cavaliers last night. They really took it to Memphis, especially after that fight, when they just literally ran the Grizzlies out of the building. But I liked what I saw from the Cavaliers last night. They, really responded to some recent criticism pretty emphatically.
Daryl, I was just watching at home on TV, and it sure felt like even before that, the crowd was hot. Can you just confirm or deny? Was the crowd as on fire as it seemed all night last night?
Well, I can tell you the sound system was raised to national TV levels last night. So I don't know if that contributed to the crowd getting into it, but my eardrums were ringing as soon as I found my seat. So... They do a great job with the game presentation, but like I could tell immediately the game was on national TV because the building and the music was instantaneous, a lot louder than what I'm accustomed to. But yeah, the crowd was into it. After the melee, they were really into it. But it felt like that building felt when LeBron was here, to be perfectly honest.
Daryl, do you think that J.B. Bickerstaff's the right man for the job?
Right now, yes. Now, I think what has to happen, Dustin, is they have to go through this process. A big reason why this team is where they are right now is because of the culture that J.B. Bickerstaff has created. And I think what needs to happen is this just has to play out. They're not an NBA championship contender right now. I think that they're in that second tier of four. You have your bottom feeder lottery teams, right? You have your wannabe play-in hopefuls, which is where the Cavaliers were last year. And then you have your solid playoff teams and then your conference slash NBA title contenders. I've got the Cavaliers in that second group right now. And I understand the level of expectation certainly got raised with the addition of Donovan Mitchell, the way the team burst on the scene last year, kind of out of nowhere. But I do agree with JB. This is a little bit of a process here. And are there games they have given away? Absolutely 100%. Can't argue that. There are games they should have won that they did not. But I think this is a situation, Dustin, where it's got to play itself out. Mm-hmm. JB has earned the right to get this team to the playoffs and show whether or not he can perform as a head coach at the level that's required in the playoffs. And then also, too, you got to, you know, got to have an honest look at this roster and this team. That's why I'm not, you know, thinking they're going to be able to do a lot come trade deadline next week, or that they should do a lot at the trade deadline, because I just feel like they are a solid playoff team. And with limited assets, see what you got. And then in the offseason, maybe try and find that piece that can get you into that upper block of teams.
Daryl, looking to what happened last night with the Cavs, and, you know, JB even kind of pointed out that, you know, we're a team of nice guys, and that's kind of the reputation around the NBA. Do you think the Cavs could use an enforcer?
Sure. Absolutely. And that was like the secondary theme, right? I mean, JB said, don't, you know, everyone mistakes are niceness with, softness. I'm paraphrasing there. I asked Darius Garland last night, you know, how he would describe the personality of this team. And he chuckled a little bit as he was trying to come up with the response. But he said, yeah, you know, we're a bunch of nice guys, right? But he also said, we're not a bunch of sissies. Like, we're not going to take grief from anyone. So, and again, this is reflective of JB. You know, this is not a flashy team that talks a lot of trash and, you know, things like that, right? They play the game the right way. Do they execute all the time? No, but they do play the game the right way. It's a good mix of guys. They really are good dudes, and it's an easy team to root for. But, you know, personally, you know, if you're a fan, it's a great team to embrace. But yeah, I think that they could probably use a bit of an enforcer, as much as they could use some perimeter shooting.
Daryl, will you stay up to watch opening night for the Guardians?
Opening night for the Guardians.
10-10 first pitch.
10-10 first pitch opening night.
Yeah, probably.
What are we doing? What are we doing in Major League Baseball?
I don't know what they're doing, but I will probably stay up, yes.
Daryl, looking to both the Guardians and the Cavs, since they're on Bally Sports, have you heard any sort of thoughts from organizations in terms of potential issues, whether that could be this year or next year, and what that might mean for the Guardians and Cavs' ability to compete if Bally Sports does go away?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't even broached the subject with anyone. I've been reading about it. I've been kind of following it on the periphery, but no, I have not had any type of conversations with anyone. Obviously, there's a major financial component involved here, because that's a major revenue stream for both of those clubs. So hopefully, you know, that situation is able to resolve itself. I remember the Sports Channel days, way, way back in the 90s, right? When the Indians used to be on like Channel 43 all the time, and then Sports Channel kind of came along, and that was the beginning of the cable broadcast rights thing. So while I've not talked to them, well, hopefully they're able to kind of get that resolved. But, I mean, that is something that they absolutely have to keep their eye on, because that is a massive chunk of their revenue.
Daryl, looking to the Cleveland Browns here, we've had a lot of conversation this week about the amount of people that have said that wide receivers, now a crucial importance to get an elite wide receiver this offseason. Do you think that has surpassed the need for maybe an elite or really good starting defensive lineman?
I think they're 1A and 1B. I'm not ducking your question. I just I think that those are the two biggest priorities this offseason. They need a speedster difference maker at wide receiver to complement what they already have in Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones, and they need some punch in the middle of the defensive line. So it's tough for me to prioritize which one is the most important, just because I feel like both of them are critical to their potential success in 2023.
So does it – I'm just curious here, because it's not something we heard going into the season, the need for a speed wide receiver. I don't know if they were banking on Schwartz.
Yeah, they were.
And I don't know if it's – it just feels like, you know, the Browns have already talked about the overhauling the offensive system and what they're going to do for Deshaun. To go out and use assets when you have a defense that needs rebuild on a premier talent like a wide receiver, which is maybe the third most expensive thing you can get,
right,
you know, outside of a quarterback and an edge rusher, it just feels like – it feels more like panic instead of taking the next step in your build around Deshaun.
Well, you can get a wide receiver with your second-round pick. And I think that that would be the most economical route to go. The key is, though, is you have to hit on that pick, right? I would spend the assets on the defensive side of the ball, quite frankly, whether that's, you know, making a trade or just spending free agents cash. But I think that you can get a quality wide receiver that can fit a need for you with your second round draft pick. I don't think I don't think that's outrageous to think, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Daryl, would you spend $92,000 to go watch LeBron James break Kareem's record?
Yes, I would. If I had that kind of money, Dustin, absolutely, yeah, I would.
What's the most you've ever paid for a ticket?
Hang on a second, I will tell you. $14. That was back in the day, the old Jacobs Field.
$14? Oh,
box seats at Jacobs Field were $14.
You're a big credential
bucks.
Guy.
Yeah, this is not me bragging. I'm just saying, like, since, you know, 98, 99, I think I can count on my hand the amount of times I've gone to a sporting event as a fan. You know what? Little fib there. As far as ticket, I remember spending $125 years ago to go to an Ohio State game. I sat in the end zone.
Did they win?
Yeah, they did, because they played Indiana.
Worth every penny.
It was worth every penny. Yes, it was sunny. It was 75. The shoot was beautiful.
Daryl.
Yeah, $125. That's what I spent.
Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys.